I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In the life of the Church, we have a number of special Sundays. These are intended to remember specific historic events in the life of Jesus and his disciples, such as Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, which we celebrated last week. But today is the only Sunday in the year which is dedicated to a doctrine, the doctrine of the Trinity. I know a lot of people don't have much time for doctrine, saying, I believe in Jesus and that's good enough for me. I don't need doctrines. But is that wise? For example, you can't build a car without a chassis. You need to have something that holds the car together. Or think of a fish without a backbone, or a body without a skeleton. There would just be a blob of jelly. And we don't want to be spiritual blobs, do we? No, we do need to know the basic structures of our faith, and it's the doctrine of the Trinity which underpins it all. However, as we all know, the doctrine of the Trinity is very difficult to understand with our human brains. As Jimmy said, it's an unfathomable mystery. How can one God be present in three persons? That is, God being fully God when he created and still creates the universe, God being fully God when he lived and still lives in the presence of Jesus, and God being fully God when God lived and still lives in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who lives in our hearts today. We know that there aren't three gods, but one God who has three different persona, or three different dimensions, or three different qualities. But in no way are these three persons separate from one another. That's the bit that's so hard to understand. No, there's a total unity of love in the relationship within the Godhead. I don't profess to understand this, but I've come across many different analogies over the years which are supposed to help. Most of these, like ice, water, and steam, or an egg with shell, yolk, and white, I'm sure you can think of many more, tend to show separateness within the whole, which isn't what we mean at all. I found two more which may get a little closer. Think of a play, say Shakespeare's Hamlet. The play was first in the mind of Shakespeare. Then he wrote it down on paper. Thirdly, the play was acted out on stage. Which of those three expressions is the play Hamlet? In the mind, on paper, or acted out on stage? Of course, all three expressions are Hamlet and can't be separated one from the other. What about this one? Think of an action, any action, say the verb to throw. To perform it, one must firstly know some details like what and where to throw, then decide what to do, then decide to do it. So there are three common basic elements that constitute a task: knowledge, decision, and implementation. So whenever something is done, it involves discerning, deciding, and doing. Is this how the three-in-one God functions? The Father has the knowledge and wills and controls everything. The Son obediently implements the Father's will, be it creation, redemption, or judgment. The Holy Spirit counsels the Father, the Son, and whoever the Father chooses by discerning truth, exposing falsehood, and convicting guilt. And the three agree as one. So God the Father has the knowledge and discernment. He is great, wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, willing and controlling everything for good. The passage from Proverbs speaks of him as the source of all wisdom. Before God established the foundations of the world, before he made any of the great things that declare his greatness, he created wisdom. So wisdom is the foundation on which all life is built. So it follows that the desire to know and to learn and to understand is woven into our very nature as beings created in the image of God. And knowing God is the key to wisdom. But how have we managed to get to know anything about God? If we just used our own intelligence and knew nothing about the scriptures or about Jesus, what would we believe about God? We'd come to the conclusion that something must have begun it all, and that something must be incredibly intelligent. But that would be it. There would be no chance of a relationship with this something. But with a knowledge of the scriptures, we come to differing conclusions about God. The God who created the heavens and the earth is the God who loves us more than any earthly mother or father. Then the God who loves us so much that he's willing to suffer and die for us on the cross. And that this God is fully present in our hearts and minds and is with us today. Such truths aren't discovered in our brains, but are revealed to us in the scriptures. We find the truth about God and the truth about the Trinity, not through reason, but through revelation. The passage from Proverbs has shown us the Trinity through the word wisdom, that knowledge and discernment which existed in the close relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. This three-in-one God wills and controls everything for good. In the passage from Paul's letter to the Romans, we hear that all three members of the Trinity are involved in our salvation. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to bridge the gap between us. The Father and the Son together sent the Holy Spirit to fill our lives with love and to enable us to live by his power. I think many of us need reminding about the love and power that is ours when we put our faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one who decides what needs doing in order to put the Father's will into action. Paul wrote that it's through Jesus that we've obtained access to the grace of God. And it's based on that grace, that unmerited favour, that we have a share in the majestic glory of God. Just think. Through Jesus, we are plugged into the power source of the universe, and nothing is impossible for God. In our gospel reading today, Jesus makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit is intimately connected with the Father and the Son. He defines the role of the Spirit as teacher and enabler, the one who will make it possible for the Father's will to be implemented in the future, when Jesus is no longer with the disciples. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you, he says. The Holy Spirit still makes the mysteries of God known to us today. As true God, he still creates faith, strengthens faith, and motivates us to share our faith in Jesus. The doctrine of the Trinity may be a bit complicated, but does this peculiarly Christian teaching about God make any practical difference to the way we live our lives? I think it does in three ways. It changes the way we worship, pray, and relate to others. Firstly, the Trinity identifies our God. It helps us to name him and to know him, to speak to him and about him. In a world where we are presented with a variety of gods, the Trinity specifies who it is we worship, he who raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Spirit. All our worship services begin and end in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This reminds us all of what the Father has done for us by the Son and does in us by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the doctrine of the Trinity helps us in our prayers. Looking through Trinitarian lenses, so to speak, we can see how our prayers may be heard and understood. Prayer is part of our sharing through the Holy Spirit in the relationship of Jesus the Son with his Father. We know that Jesus, through his atoning work for us on the cross, intercedes for us to the Father. So we share in the family of God. Thirdly, the Trinity shows us that relationships are central to being a person. We are united to one another in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We acknowledge this every time we say the grace together. The Spirit not only works in us to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and so approach the Father, but also binds us to one another in love. So in our acts of love for one another, we express outwardly our connection to one another and in Christ to God. This was never going to be an easy sermon, either to write or to understand, so let's finish on a simple note. Towards the end of her life, Dame Julian of Norwich wrote, "Would you know your Lord's meaning? Know it well. Love was his meaning. Who showed it to you? Love. What did he show you? Love. Why did he show it? For love." Dame Julian in her day found God in love, pure and simple. For all the complexity of our modern life, that is still where God, Creator, Father, Redeemer, Son, and Enabler, Holy Spirit, is to be found. As Paul tells us in our reading today, God's love has been poured into our hearts. His love holds us safe forever, and nothing can snatch us from his arms. To bring it all down to a simple formula, the real power of the Trinity is summed up in love. And it's this love which draws us all together into the life of God the Trinity and sends us out to do his work in the world. Amen.